Well, we have got an incredible story here for you. The Hillary investigation is going on to even bigger things, and so she's getting investigated right now for her role. She's getting interviewed, and so it is looking increasingly possible that, like, she could, not will, but could be indicted. If she's indicted, it should be within a fairly, I would think, brief period of time. Not years, but within the next few months. Now, the suggestion there is that she's getting interviewed by Comey, James Comey, the head of the FBI, and himself, which is kind of an extraordinary thing. And there has just been a lot of speculation on where this, you know, ultimately is headed. There's so many different factors in this, and I don't know. I mean, it's just so incredible to think about Hillary possibly being removed. There's a little clip here for you.
Learned that the FBI has finished its examination of Clinton's email server. David Schuster says the investigation appears to be nearing its end. David is here now with the latest.
Tony, after nearly a year-long investigation, sources tell us that federal investigators are close to a decision about whether to seek criminal charges.
Thank you. My goodness. Wow.
While Hillary Clinton fights for the Democratic presidential nomination, law enforcement sources tell Al Jazeera the federal investigation into her personal email system while she was Secretary of State has reached a critical stage.
I want to say a word of thanks to the men and women of the FBI.
The FBI, led by James Comey, has now finished examining Clinton's private emails and her home server. And the sources add that Comey's FBI team has been joined by Justice Department prosecutors. Together, they are now examining the evidence, analyzing relevant laws, and attempting to arrange interviews with key figures in the investigation. Those interviews, according to attorneys, will include former State Department aides Philippe Reines, former Clinton Chief of Staff Cheryl Mills, and Clinton herself. Soon after those interviews, in the next few days and weeks, officials expect Director Comey to make his recommendation to Attorney General Loretta Lynch about potential criminal charges.
Mr. Director?
Thank you, Attorney General Lynch.
The two appeared in public together last week for an unrelated matter. And while sources say they have discussed the Clinton investigation, the only public acknowledgement has been Comey's confirmation to Congress that he is deeply involved in the case.
This is one I'm following very closely and get briefed on regularly. I'm confident we have the people and the resources to do it in the way I believe we do all our work, which is promptly, professionally, and independently.
As part of that effort, FBI officials report nearly 50 agents are assigned to the Clinton investigation. Last month, investigators secured the cooperation and testimony of Brian Pagliano, reportedly in exchange for immunity from prosecution. Pagliano is the former State Department staffer who set up Clinton's home server. Clinton has admitted that using her private email system was a mistake, but she insists she did nothing illegal.
I did not send or receive any emails marked classified at the time.
Meanwhile, Clinton's campaign continues to focus on building up her nomination delegate count. In New York, her latest ad targets Republican Donald Trump.
When some say we can solve America's problem building walls, banning people based on their religion, and turning against each other, well, this is New York, and we know better.
Clinton's rival Bernie Sanders has won 6 of the last 7 Democratic contests. He keeps hammering the contrast between his populist-funded campaign and the wealthy donors fueling Clinton.
I'm not wasting my time going to rich people's homes, begging them for their campaign contributions.
Soon, though, the campaign themes and strategies could be overshadowed, because there's now every sign the Clinton email investigation is quickly headed towards a conclusion, whether it's her exoneration or indictment. In terms of timing, sources expect the conclusion to come in weeks, not months, and they add that Hillary Clinton's interview with the FBI, which could happen in days, will be crucial. Tony?
Crucial. Okay. Tell me why.
Tony, if you look at the highest profile indictments of figures, whether it's, you know, Scooter Libby,
yeah,
in the CIA Lee case, or yeah, Bill Clinton, they got in trouble not for the underlying crimes, but because they lied to the FBI, yeah, or lied to a grand jury. It is extremely dangerous for a defendant who is essentially the focus of an investigation to go into an interview when the FBI and the investigators, they know everything in the emails. They have all the evidence. They have all the testimony from Pagliano. If Hillary Clinton contradicts that, that's a big problem.
Right. And what do we know about the federal prosecutors who have now joined the case?
One of the federal prosecutors involved helped with the David Petraeus case. The former CIA director a year ago pleaded guilty to a charge of unauthorized removal, attention of classified information. A number of legal experts have said that there are some similarities, but also some differences between the cases. But it's interesting still that Comey's team would lean on a prosecutor who has that kind of experience in this particular investigation.
All right, David. David Schuster for us. David.
All right. So anyway, looks like all things being equal, I would think that they're going to come up with something. And I've already said this, I think, to you, that they're going to find something and then not do anything with it because of the fact that the Justice Department is run by the, you know, look at it from President Obama's perspective. What does he have to gain from getting rid of Hillary? He can settle a few scores. I mean, right now, Bill Clinton is coming after him and blaming him for a terrible economy, you know, and Obama's lucky that he's not, that his wife, Bill's wife, had been Secretary of State, or he would be blaming him for a lot more. But the upshot is that we're going to, in my opinion, I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to be communicated if they do find something, but it's going to have to come out at some point that she did wrong and that they're not going to go ahead. It wasn't a big enough deal to prosecute her, but I think that does damage her campaign somewhat. And in addition, she would then get exonerated, but, you know, they investigated me, and yes, I did do this thing wrong that I already admitted I made a mistake, but I was not really criminally liable in their eyes, and so, you know, that clears me. So anyway, I'll have a little bit more on this, but I just think it's interesting that the higher up you go, the easier it is to get protection, and I guess that's obvious. But anyway, Kelly O'Connell got a little case of the Mesilla Valley throat this morning. It is the 31st of March and 6:14, and very nice out right now. And I got some temperature for you, 46 degrees, so not as warm as it has been. And we'll be right back to carry on with this topic, and I'll bring you some headlines. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. Spending my day. Thinking about you, Hillary had no sex drive, basically, and that the upshot was that, you know, or that was his excuse anyway, and that she claimed that Hillary approved or preferred women, which is it wouldn't come as a shock to anybody who kind of follows things, and that's been the rumors for a long time. But we've got here the possibility, obviously, if Hillary Clinton is breaking these rules, she's breaking them with somebody else, you know. So she's sending emails to somebody else that have classified information in them. And so the top aides to Hillary Clinton include Huma Abedin, who then married Wiener, and then Wiener got left office because of his sex scandal, his texting and his sending explicit pictures. And then, of course, the rumors came up that he was also in the same situation as Bill, having to look outside of his marriage because it was an arranged marriage or whatever. So I don't, you know, claim to know anything about these people's personal lives, but that's the information that, or the opinion that's been out there. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Huma Abedin, but first some headlines. An error booted Bernie from the D.C. ballot is the claim. And let me get, well, let's get over to, I'm on Drudge right now, but let me get over to give you some Google headlines because they have them in mass over there. But, you know, the upshot on this is that we've never been in a situation like this before. We've been with Richard Nixon, who was in office. And, you know, when he was in office getting reelected, he had these problems that eventually caused him to leave office. I don't think we've ever been in a situation where a nominee or a potential nominee or inevitable nominee is going to be under such scrutiny for a criminal investigation and then could be removed. And what would happen? And then on the other side, you've got this very weird situation with Donald Trump where the party is doing everything it can to kill his campaign and is claiming it still wants to win the race, but has said that, you know, GOP officials have said, I'll vote for Hillary before I vote for him, which is a strange thing when Hillary even recently has been called, you know, the worst person in politics. So it's strange. You know, you can end up with two non-leading candidates running against each other. You could have a Joe Biden versus a Paul Ryan, for example. A flyover collapsed in Kolkata, India, killing 14 people, many trapped there. Of course, things in India don't have the same, they don't have building laws like we do. Donald Trump claiming he has evolved into pro-life views, much like Ronald Reagan. Violent tornadoes, storms in the South, threatening 9 million people. Top Clinton funders urging tougher attacks on Trump. But there is a risk in that, of course. And there is, all right, so I've got more headlines for you in the next round, but there's just a few for you. Now, here is the question is, this woman, pardon me, this woman, Huma Abedin, who has been the closest person to Hillary Clinton, I don't know if they're going to mention it in this clip, but Huma Abedin's mother is part of the female Muslim Brethren. Believe it or not, as astounding as that sounds, she has those ties. So check this out. I will never figure out this interaction. I'll never figure out Obama getting elected so soon after 9/11, having a Muslim name, for example. Obama Hussein, Barack Hussein Obama. That's crazy. I mean, that, you know, and that Hillary would have these ties. It's just, you can't make this stuff up. Anyway, check out Huma Abedin at 624 and 523-1450 to call in and 805-61802 text.
A lot about Huma Abedin, Secretary Clinton's longtime confidant, but do you really know who she is?
How are you? Oh,
this is Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman.
I'm proud to have served at the State Department, and I was honored to work for Secretary Clinton.
And today, the woman who the New York Times calls Hillary Clinton's most trusted and most visible confidant is facing tough questions on Capitol Hill.
I came here today to be as helpful as I could be to the committee.
But who is Huma Abedin, and what does she do for Hillary Clinton? The story goes back to 1996. Abedin, a student at George Washington University, gets an internship in the Clinton White House and is assigned to then First Lady Hillary Clinton.
I want to be your senator from New York. Thank you all very much.
During the 2000 Senate campaign, Abedin officially becomes Clinton's personal aide. And then, in 2008, serves as Clinton's body woman, essentially the person who follows right behind her during her first run for the White House. But when that didn't turn out, Aberdeen becomes deputy chief of staff in Clinton's State Department. But that's not all. Just last August, the Washington Post reporting this bombshell. Aberdeen worked for multiple private sector companies while working at the State Department, including work for a consulting firm run by a close Clinton ally, and simultaneously getting paid by the Clinton Foundation, an arrangement that's attracted criticism.
She could have them legally if people treated the law like a pretzel, and it was infinitely elastic, as laws tend to be when they get in the Clinton orbit.
Some of Clinton's opponents also make it an issue of Aberdeen's husband, notorious former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who famously tweeted controversial photos of his body parts and then lied about it. But Aberdeen's standing by her man despite her husband's scandal.
It was not an easy choice in any way. But I made the decision that it was worth staying in this marriage.
But as questions and controversies surround Secretary Clinton's use of a personal server to store government emails, there's one thing the emails do make clear. There are few people as close to Hillary Clinton as Huma Aberdeen. And in a statement issued today, the Clinton campaign saying in part, the committee's focus on Huma is additional evidence that the actual attack of Benghazi and its lessons about how we better protect diplomats serving in dangerous places are the last things on the committee's mind.
All right. So I do have a clip also discussing the ties that Huma Aberdeen has, the number one associate of Hillary. But we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, I have one thing to say.
Sounds like Tom playing with his squeeze toy there. So, I mean, you know, the question, I guess, is obviously, are they going to get these people to talk? Is anybody going to turn on Hillary, any of her friends? And I mean, if you've ever read anything about Hillary, you'll find that people, for whatever reason, are extremely, extremely loyal to her. And she's supposed to be this fantastic person off the record or behind closed doors or whatever. But unless you're Bill Clinton, and then she doesn't really measure up. You ever wonder why, you know, Bill Clinton's supposed to be this great lover, this incredible Romeo, and he ended up with somebody like Hillary? I mean, why didn't, if the guy was, you know, so over sex, why didn't he go get somebody who had posed in Playboy or something? I mean, if that was, you know, if his main interest in life besides politics was sex, then. All right, so here is. Well, let's take a break, and I'll come back and give you a little information about the ties, which I don't think I've ever gone into, the ties of Huma Aberdeen with the Muslim Brotherhood through her mother. It's just so extraordinary. What are the chances that you choose an intern and that intern's mother just happens to be the head of the female Muslim Brotherhood? I mean, and you know, the best thing is the media never does any legwork on this stuff. You know, it's always... they're either overwhelmed with things, some of these stories, or they're offended, you know. How dare you? 629 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, and 805-618-02 text. We'll be right back to find out a little bit more about Huma Aberdeen, who is the number one, possibly the number one person in the investigation after Hillary Clinton on the emails that eventually go back to Benghazi, Libya, and have information that was highly classified. And we'll be right back to talk about that. It's 6:29. All right, 6:33 here, and I've got for you a little bit of Huma for your toast here. Oh, I'm sorry, that's hummus. Anyway, here is the ties between Huma, who was just called a beautiful young lady, which I'm not sure I'd agree with that, but maybe Hillary does. But here's the connection between her and the Muslim Brotherhood, an astounding bit of information that has barely been ever reported on.
You might not have heard the name Huma Abedin, but you've probably seen her. She's a beautiful young woman, always accompanying Hillary Clinton. She's Hillary Clinton's personal aide in every sense of the word, holding her cell phone, her briefcase, traveling with her everywhere, the closest confidant the U.S. Secretary of State has. But who is Huma Abedin? Joining us now in studio to talk about this is Tarek Fatah, who has been doing some serious digging. And Tarek, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. Huma Abedin is the daughter of two American Islamist academics who, as soon as they got American passports and she was born, took the daughter, went over where Saudi Arabia. They were not Saudis. One was a Pakistani, the other was Indian. Deeply involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. They kept their daughter and subjected her to a childhood of education in that segregated fascist society till she was old enough to go to American universities. Then they brought her here. As soon as they brought her here, she became an intern in the White House when President Clinton was there. Later on served Senator Clinton, a bright young woman who I would hope is a role model for many Muslim young women because she defies every stereotype of what an Islamist is.
Yeah, she doesn't wear the burqa. She travels. She drives.
Not at all.
I mean, not at all.
But
she's
knew.
More than that, isn't
oh,
she?
Oh, she's much more than that. Her
Muslim Brotherhood parents, the apple doesn't fall from the tree. Tell me about Huma's involvement with the Muslim Students Association.
Well, when she was in Georgetown University, she was on the executive board of the Muslim Students Association.
Who are they?
The MSA is a Muslim Brotherhood front organization that in various universities take different forms, but at the core of it is a radical Islamist group that does not go far from the goals established by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and Pakistan's Jamaat Islami. And she was on that board right through university. We've got evidence of that on the university's website and elsewhere. And while she was there, she was also a member of the editorial board. She was assistant editor to this Muslim Brotherhood magazine called the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs.
You've got a copy right there. We've got it on the screen also. A photo
well,
you sent us.
I've got a copy over
now,
here.
Now, what's on the editorial masthead? As we
well, masthead is her mom's the editor, Professor Saliha, but she hides her last name. She goes by Saliha Mahmood. Mm-hmm. Then she's got her brother as associate editor. Then Huma Abedin is the assistant editor. Her younger sister, Hiba, who has changed her name to Hiba Khalid, is the other assistant editor.
So this was a family publication.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was a Saudi publication funded by a radical terrorist-supporting individual called, I forget the name right now, but it was a Saudi periodical brought out twice a year, a large sum of money paid for by Saudi authorities, and brought out, established by her late father.
Mm. Now, I want to show you a clip that you brought to our attention. I'd like to show our viewers. This is an oath. Now, the oath we're about to show is an oath that all members of the Muslim Students Association have to swear.
MSA, Muslim Students Association, has an oath of allegiance. This is not what I'm alleging. This is what they proudly put on the YouTube, and they can listen that it is an exact reflection of what is asked or demanded by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
Let's roll the clip right now. Let's show it right now. This is the pledge that Huma Abedin
with the Pledge of Allegiance. And so you will repeat after me, inshallah. Allah is my Lord. Islam is my life. The Quran is my guide. The Sunnah is my practice. Jihad is my spirit. Righteousness is my character. And paradise is my goal. For I enjoin what is right, I forbid what is wrong, I will fight against oppression, and I will die to establish Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
That's pretty hardcore stuff.
The point is
jihad,
this is exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood demands of its members.
Now, working with Hillary Clinton, that woman knows every secret in America's diplomacy, military, national security.
Absolutely. And this is what I fear. It is quite possible, Ezra, that Huma Abedin found out that she doesn't follow this.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it.
Yeah.
It's the onus of responsibility is on Huma Abedin to say, my past, I found out that these are repugnant people. Mm. I distance myself from them.
Mm.
It is her responsibility, just as it's Umar Khadr's responsibility to say my dad was wrong
right.
and I've learned. She does not. Not only that, she pushes in heavy hitters. She's an immensely wealthy woman in the really upper class of American stage, goes around. The family is very well connected in the mainstream journalist cycles.
Yeah, let's look at some media coverage. In the States, when women like Michelle Bachmann, the congressman, asked questions, Sarah Palin asked questions about this, the mainstream media
asked,
played full defense for Huma, didn't they?
All they asked was, the five congressmen asked, can we investigate if Huma Abedin has had security clearance?
Yeah, it's a basic question.
Absolutely.
Let's show what some of the media party did to defend this Muslim Brotherhood editor. Go ahead.
But to take...
Anyway, you get the point of this is that instead of just being someone with a Middle Eastern background, Huma Abedin just so happens to be out of an extraordinarily engaged for Islam family, and it was raised by radicals, and not just radicals, but or I would say intellectual radicals, not maybe not terrorists, but she was raised by people who were radically, committed to their faith, and or maybe the term radical doesn't apply, but maybe it's more along the lines of extremely committed. You know, that seems like their life's work. You know, so how does this person end up becoming Hillary Clinton's top closest aide? I mean, they must obviously share the same beliefs at some level. I'm not saying Hillary's a Muslim by any stretch of the imagination, although nobody really knows probably what she believes except Bill. But you know, she changes every time she needs to change. She's a chameleon. But it's so unlikely. It's just so bizarre. 523-1450 to call in, and we'll come back and Well, I've got some more stories for you. I've got some weather news for you. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text 805-6180. And it's 641, and it's in the 40s outside. We'll be right back.
Sing the song to let you know. Look in your eyes.
All right, so there is some very strong weather out there in certain places in the country, and danger of tornadoes and such. And tornadoes ripped through Oklahoma. University of Arkansas campus shut down the University of Arkansas shut down because of campus shut down for flooding, but a tornado hitting Tulsa. Check this out. Weather Channel.
It certainly was an active severe weather day down through the southern plains, and that's one of the biggest threats we had yesterday, is that tornado touchdown in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, this is in the metro area near the airport, and it's believed that this tornado touched down a few times. Owosso in Oklahoma was also affected by this same tornado, it looks like. Now, it was responsible for injuring at least 13 people, one of those people in critical condition, and also caused a lot of residential damage. Not only were we looking at tornadoes, which, by the way, the National Weather Service so far is reporting 6 tornado touchdowns through the southern plains yesterday. And look at some of that damage. Unbelievable what that has done. But look at this flash flooding in Little Rock, just as dramatic here. More than 6 inches of rain fell in a single day. That's a single day rainfall. So flash flooding, a major concern. More storms on the way today.
All right. So, and we do have also a snowstorm that is going up crossed. It was yesterday going through the west and especially through Wyoming. And now during the midst of these tornado watches that are being found from East Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, Mississippi, extreme weather, extreme amounts of rain. You've also got the the Islam, and her mother is supposed to be part of this female version of the Muslim Brethren. That she goes and she's moved from Saudi Arabia in time to go to college, and then she is. You know, gets this job with Clinton as an intern. But you know what? This whole thing seems very strange. It almost seems like it was stage managed. And she is the, you know, working on these Muslim journals at school and everything. She's got to still be right. I mean, doesn't she? Now, why she would marry a very ugly Jewish guy, Anthony Weiner? Who knows? I mean. Here's a little bit from Russia on this, though, on a little more on Huma.
I checked the email during the break. You were going to tell us about Egypt. I am going to tell you about Egypt. It's not as important right now as it was at the end of the program. Here's all you need to know about it. Huma Abedin, Mrs. Anthony Weiner. Mrs. Weiner, Huma Weiner, she is Hillary Clinton's number one aide, and Huma's mother is best friends with the new first lady of Egypt, the wife of the new Muslim Brotherhood guy, Morsi. That's really all you need to know, but there's much more to know. But that's basically, that's why Hillary is out celebrating the Brotherhood. That's why Hillary is joining Obama in telling the military to give it up for the Brotherhood guy. Because Huma's mom, there's actually a group, The Muslim Sisterhood, essentially, that is an offshoot of the Brotherhood. And Huma's mom is best friends with the new so-called First Lady of Egypt, who is also a member of the Sisterhood. Folks, it's Peyton Place. It's just, it's too much.
Now, this is 2 years ago. Now, don't forget what happened. We forget this disaster that we were introduced to by the great political genius of Obama, Barack Obama. We were going to pursue Muslim Spring, right? And so the theory was we were going to support. This is just this most cockamamie idea. We were going to support peace or freedom fighters, and it wouldn't really, you know, just go and help them, give them aid, weapons, whatever, military support, but we wouldn't directly lead them, we'd follow them, leading from behind. And if Europe wanted to be involved, so be it. We'd follow them with a very heavy hand. So that's leading from behind. And so what ended up happening, and this is, and I actually wrote an article about this, and did a lot of terrible outcomes, which have come true. You know, I mean, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist though to predict this. We would go and support these people like they were the founding fathers of their countries, you know, and then we would, you know, help them overturn these dictatorships. And then we would, then there would be, you know, freedom and liberty and rights and everything would blossom up like, you know, flowers growing out of a grave or something. And what really happened was that we actually aided the worst people in these societies, the most radical Muslim people to take over these societies. And now Libya is in chaos and Egypt almost fell into total anarchy. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Sharon. Good morning.
Good morning, Sharon. Hope you're well, and thanks for the call. What's up?
Yeah. How do we balance the wonderful freedoms that we have in terms of our First Amendment rights, our freedom of religion, common sense? I'm struggling with that because, you know, this information about Abadie has been out for a long, long time, and it doesn't get through the press because the press chooses what it wants us to know, but it's not just Humit Abedin. I mean, she has the potential of being the closest aide and confidant, just like Valerie Jarrett,
yeah,
to the potential next president. Part. But anyway, so that's not all, though. The Muslim Brotherhood ideology is probably the best way to say it, not, you know, victimize somebody, is in the FBI. They're in our military. They have dumbed down our special forces, our military, you know, not just interrogation techniques, but in the knowledge of how to profile, if you will, a terrorist because of our freedom of religion. And, you know, that's a quandary that we have right now.
Right, okay.
When Cruz...
Uh-huh. Well, I was going to say, if I was going... You know, I talked about this before, and the question you bring up is extraordinarily important for America. There has to be a finding, I believe, that Islam is apples and oranges different than other religions because it first seeks to assert itself politically and to conquer an area, and then it gives people the freedom to either support Islam or pay a tax. But I mean, it is not like any other religion that I've ever seen.
What do you think about the idea that the radical Muslims are the people who are the moderate Muslims? That the the terrorists are actually being true.
All right.
To their
let me respond to that. When ISIS first came up, I made an offhand comment that they're actually following Sharia law, which I just happen to know because I've spent years studying it and published a number of articles, one of which I found out was being used at a university in a course, but non-believers under Muslim law. I think you could probably Google that and find that article out there if you wanted to. But I'm not saying to you, anybody's listening, but so this Saudi Arabia is Wahhabi, is under the influence of Wahhabi. Wahhab was the Martin Luther of Islam. He's the one who brought them back to their religion. And so the Saudi Arabia, which is extraordinarily brutal, has Sharia law, and ISIS has Sharia law. And I think that these radicals are doing what is commanded in the Quran. I don't see how at some point everybody in America, unless you're totally brainwashed, is going to come to the conclusion that violence is at the heart of Islam. And there's also words of peace in there too, but it's mixed in with violence.
Yeah. You know, the governor of, Louisiana, Bobby Jindal.
Bobby Jindal, yeah.
And then there's, he's an author. I can't remember his name. Anyway, you know, those guys that are speaking out against ISIS and Sharia law and those kinds of things, I call them the radicals. They're the reformers. They're the ones that we really should be listening to. And, you know, I think we get the mindset that when you say radical Muslims, that's ISIS, and yet that's actually they're living up to their faith and their law and what their Quran says.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the way I understand it. And, you know, people, that's the quandary that we have. We can't say that, even though I don't care anymore, you know, without getting slammed as Islamophobic or, you know, the political correctness, as Ben Carson actually correctly said, is killing us.
Yeah, it's killing us. And I mean, I used to bring up Islam when I was studying it and to talk to people about it because I'm studying the stuff. I don't have anybody to talk about it with. And people would just argue with me. And I'm like, this is crazy. This person knows nothing. And I wasn't going after Islam and just making some points. And the people had no background. So that's, and I mean, trust me, I mean, people don't argue with me about it anymore, because the average person, people don't know anything about it. And it just so happens that I was lucky enough to get turned on I was walking through the law school library and a book caught my eye. When I walk through libraries, I always keep my eyes open, because sometimes a book title will jump out at you. And I saw a book, a book, Introduction to Muslim Law. I believe it was by Noel Colson. And I got that book, and it was about, I don't know, 120 pages, whatever, and read it in a couple of days. And I'm like, wow, this is so different than anything I've ever studied. And so I just started studying and collecting books, and I've got hundreds of books on Islam, but I've got about 50 books on Muslim law, and it is just totally different than anything you've ever looked at, you know?
Uh-huh. That's what I understand.
Sharon, can you call back in the next hour, because I'm running out of time for my ads?
That's okay. Go ahead, Kelly. I'm almost to El Paso.
Final point.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Thanks for the call. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, folks. Good call there. Let's take a little break here, and we'll be right back. 656 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, and 805-6180. I'll try to get some texts in before the end. From Tom, I was barking like Hillary. I guess Hillary's barking mad. Anyway, we'll come back after the hour and pick up some of these. I got some other stories for you. I was going to do mental health, this breakthrough in mental health, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. I think it's so interesting. We'll be back after break on the hour, and I've got a lot of juicy stuff for you. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 and 805-6180-2 text. 659. Well, good morning. Good morning. If you're just tuning in, it is 47 degrees out there. Got kind of chilly last night, a little bit windy, and there was a chill in the air. So we have been talking about Huma Abedin, and we originally started into Hillary and her chances of being indicted in this email crisis, as it has just come out that she's going to be interviewed by James Comey, who's the head of the FBI. Now, that in and of itself is extraordinary, you know. You know, that would be like Bill Gates showing up in a, you know, in a store to sell you your software. I mean, I have to think that Comey is really taking this thing seriously, obviously, and wants to get it on the record that he did everything he could to investigate it properly. All right, here's some headlines for you. Demon-haunted world exorcisms increase. And do you believe in exorcisms? And do you believe in demons and Satan and people being possessed? And obviously Kathy doesn't, and Frankie. But there is, from, you know, we did a story on this probably over a month ago about California, that all of the dioceses in California, the Catholic dioceses, have a exorcist in them, which is in and of itself extraordinary. And the Catholic Church has been training exorcists, especially for Mexico. And there have been just a lot of stories out there. Now, there was just a guy that was killed. He was taken out of a cyber cafe by his so-called friends, and they took him and killed him by stabbing him with broken bottles and beating him to death so that he would become reanimated with as a zombie. So, that, you know, gosh, it always, you know, I always wonder what people, if people don't believe in God or religion, a traditional religion, what they put their faith in or hope in, science or, you know, and I mean, and if you believe in science, what exactly are you believing in? It's just, if you boil science down, it's just a method. Science really isn't anything other than the scientific method. Everything else is a culture and a set of, you know, enthusiasms and you know, a certain amount of faith that people are putting in the scientific method. But I've never really understood the fact that a person says, I don't believe in God. I don't, you know, I believe in science. I mean, to me, that would be like saying, I don't believe in carbohydrates. I don't believe in, you know, I believe in, carbon. You know, or, you know, I mean, it's confusing your categories. But anyway, FBI man arrested after doing yoga, meditating on airplane. I wonder if he was upside down, you know, like how they do that on his head. There's a claim out there. ISIS is on the brink of using nukes. You know, Donald Trump was just asked about this. How do you feel about using nukes on ISIS? And he said, well, you know, it's possible at some point that we would consider that, and people freaked out. What are people going to do the first time ISIS detonates a nuclear weapon? I mean, you know, do you think that, well, Obama won't probably be in office, but how wise will his statement that we're containing ISIS and we hope to have them contained within 10 years? How wise will that sound, you know? I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard when he initially said it, of course. France has lost 10,000 millionaires amid rising Muslim tensions. And, you know, what that means to me is, you know, you see these pictures of these entire streets taken over by Muslims putting down, you know, I would assume putting down prayer rugs, but you've seen these people block streets in a modern city and praying. And, you know, France has got some very, energetic and muscular laws against wearing the veil and stuff like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if in 10 or 20 years, you know, in 20 years, maybe, that Paris is controlled to a large extent by Islam. Wouldn't that be weird? Killer nurse accused of murdering 13 patients. Self-driving cars are confused by shabby roadways. You couldn't pay me enough to get in a self-driving car. Fed rate talk, nonsense, according to Janet Yellen. And the economy is, according to some who study it, already in a recession. Already in a recession. That's why it feels so bad. That's why it's never recovered. All right. So Illinois-born Hillary says to Trump, "You're no New Yorker." She was, of course, she moved to New York so she could run for the Senate. And Trump was born in Queens. But of course, she's a real New Yorker there, being a chameleon. North Korean prison escape. You remember I played that thing or was telling you about this kid that was convicted of, and you know what I think he had done? He was a brilliant student from, I think he was from UVA. He was a scholar. He was one of the top 10%. He got this scholarship and he was supposed to be a brilliant kid and was so excited to go to North Korea. He took down a poster. I think what his sin was, he took down a poster to bring back and maybe sell or whatever. And they saw that on video or whatever. And so he's going to be doing something like 20 years. And they say his life there is going to be like Auschwitz, an Auschwitz labor camp. And, you know, in North Korea, if you get in trouble, like if you're found to be like, for example, protesting the government or trying to escape or, you know, practicing Christianity, one of these terrible crimes, they will not just take you. They'll take you in three generations. They'll take you, your parents, and your kids and put them all in a labor camp. And those labor camps, I mean, there's no food in North Korea to begin with because it's socialist / Marxist economy. So there's no motivation to grow anything. And but you can bet in a concentration camp, there's even less to eat there. Magazine, Time Magazine reporting porn and the threat to virility. So, and Al Sharpton, there's a fear of Obama leaving office. He's in worry and despair on the emotions that it's going to escalate. Well, who caused the racial, who at least ramped up the racial distrust and anger? It was Obama for his own reasons, you know. He's leaving the country worse off across the board. I don't care what anybody says. Now there's a story out there. Obama's $3.5 million spent on his and her flights. So what? You know, here's this guy's worried about global warming. It's a bigger threat than ISIS. But he's willing to go to Argentina. Well, there's a little bit more on this investigation with Hillary because it's kind of coming to a head. All right, Kelly O'Connell, 7:15 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 and 805-6180 to text, and I'll get into your text when I come back.
My. Hey. You don't know how I'm feeling today, but I like to tell you.
It's 7:18 and it is about, I think, 42, 43 degrees out there. It's 47 degrees right now. It's gone up a few points there. So 147 is the number of what? It's the number of investigators of Hillary Clinton in the FBI. You can imagine that. And so there's a lot going on in this investigation that's not being reported, obviously, because it's extremely undercover. But check this out on the Hillary investigation.
We'll see what happens there. But let me go back to Ashley and jump back in on this from the Democratic side for a moment, because a lot of discussion about the story that came out yesterday in great detail, sort of tracing the initial days of Hillary Clinton's BlackBerry use at the State Department. And she was told right off the bat that they weren't even allowed those devices in the Mahogany Row area of the State Department because they had been hacked so many times. New developments and talk that there's as many as 147, 150 agents on this case.
Not true.
Well, that we'll get to just okay. I mean, that's something that's debatable here. I think regardless of how many agents there are in the case, the fact is there is a case, right? And I think that that's what is so important here. Her poll numbers have taken a hit because of it when it comes to her untrustworthiness. This matchup in the primary was something she was not expecting. She was expecting to be coronated as the Democratic nominee. And guess what? Bernie Sanders has given her a run for her money. And that's because people can't trust her. Young people don't like her. She's not progressive enough for them. So she's got an uphill battle to climb before she secures that nomination, as she believes she will. The math, you know, is in her favor. But at the same time, she should be very scared because the momentum is not on her side. And as this ramps up, I really think this investigation is going to play very, very largely into this. You know, some people have said.
Well, I mean, if she is not indicted, I don't see how they're going to keep her out of getting the nomination. And then it's a brand new ballgame. But, you know, the thing is, the more that they don't bring stuff up, if Trump runs against her, and this would have never been true of McCain or Romney, both McCain and Romney refused to attack the President Obama on many issues that people wanted to be brought to the surface. And like I told you, McCain carries himself like he's an old Southern gentleman, you know, that he's just, you know, and he'll stand up and defend Obama's religion. Like, how would John McCain know what Obama believes, especially based on the things he said and done? All right. Here's a little bit more on, the new phase of the email scandal.
Today, as sources familiar with the probe are indicating that federal prosecutors have begun the process of setting up formal interviews with some of her closest aides. No dates have been set for questioning yet, but prosecutors are eventually expected to seek an interview with Mrs. Clinton herself. Joining us right now is Fox News senior judicial analyst, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, good to see you.
Oh, good morning, Maria.
So what
good morning,
this,
team.
What does this new phase mean?
It means that the FBI is more or less completed with its gathering of raw evidence, and it has corroborated that evidence. That is, it has gathered it, and it has sourced it, and has verified the sources for the evidence, and it is approaching the second-to-last phase. The second-to-last phase is to invite in to speak with them the people who know the most about this but who could be targets. That is, they could be potential defendants themselves.
Right.
The FBI can't order them in. The FBI invites them in.
Mm.
They are not under oath, but if they speak, they must tell the truth. As we all know from the Martha Stewart case, it is a crime. It is a felony to lie to an FBI agent when you're having a formal conversation. You're not saying hello on the subway. They're asking you questions and you're answering.
An actual interview.
Correct. It's an actual interview. It's very, very treacherous. And most white-collar criminal defense lawyers will not let their clients, no matter how ardent the client's wish is to tell his or her story to the FBI, to do so, because you don't know, the lawyer and the aide in this case, Clinton's aides,
okay,
do not know what the FBI knows about them, and it could very well be a trap.
Right, and this is the point that I was making last week, because I had heard that they were zeroing in on Mrs. Clinton herself, that the FBI never finishes an investigation without actually speaking to the actual subject, being Hillary Clinton. Have they asked her to do an interview yet?
I don't believe they have. They may complete an investigation without speaking to the subject, but they do not complete an investigation.
We know that Hillary is going to be interviewed by James Comey, the head of the FBI.
Without asking the subject to come in.
Exactly.
Now, She has a damned if you do and damned if you don't choice.
So she may say, no, I don't want to speak to you.
Well, she's already said many, many times, quote, I can't wait to speak to the FBI. Now, when she says that, that's a lie. The FBI knows it's a lie. Yeah. Nobody can't wait to speak to the FBI. You're a potential criminal defendant, and you don't know what they have.
But she can say, look, I don't, her lawyer could say, look, I don't want my client to, you know, hurt her chances or implicate her, so we're just going to have to say no.
If she says no, that is the prudent legal advice,
right.
But politically it would be catastrophic for her because if Republic promises that she goes in. On the other hand, if she overrules her lawyers and goes in, she's walking into a pit. She's walking into a very, very dangerous environment in which they are determined to find inconsistencies in her story.
So before anything happens where the FBI wants to interview her or request for an interview for her, don't you think they're going to have to give more immunity to other members of her team? I mean, we've already had a member of her team get immunity. He was the guy that installed the server.
Yeah.
So won't that elongate?
Liano.
Yeah, exactly. Won't that elongate?
It's really up to the FBI and the federal prosecutors to whom they want to give immunity. And obviously, I don't know their case the way they
right.
do. They know much better what their case is. The idea with immunity is to minimize it. That is not to get to grant it broadly,
right.
but to grant it narrowly just to the right person. Brian Pagliano is the person who Bill and Hillary paid $5,000. Not a lot of money, but $5,000 to install the server in their home in Chappaqua. That involved the following. Migrating two email accounts. A public State Department account to which anybody could email in the State Department, even the public could email to it, and a secret State Department email account. He had to migrate the two of them away from the State Department without the State Department's knowledge to her server in Chappaqua. Mr. Pagliano, how did you gain access to Mrs. Clinton's secret State Department email stream? She gave me her password. She gave you her password? She already signed an agreement saying she wouldn't give the password away to anybody when she had her two-hour FBI tutorial explaining to her her obligations to safeguard national security secrets and how she could be prosecuted, whether she intentionally exposed them or negligently exposed them, and how she had the affirmative legal duty to recognize a secret when she saw one.
And Pagliano was just a private guy, or he worked for the State Department, or what?
He worked for her campaign. He worked for her presidential campaign. He worked for her senatorial campaign. He worked for the Clinton Foundation, and then he worked for the State Department.
Do you remember when she went through this whole process in the beginning where she sat, gave a press release or press statement at the UN, and she's like, I just did it out of convenience. It was more convenient. Here we go. She's sidestepping the State Department, right? I mean,
it's a very good point, Kevin,
it is
and
a good
it's
point.
The type of inconsistency that the FBI thrives on, asking her questions where they know she's going to give an answer that is defied by the evidence. That could expose her, like Martha Stewart, to another felony, lying to an FBI. It is not a crime for the FBI to lie to her in these interviews.
You answered my question.
All right. So, you know, is Hillary too big to prosecute? 523-1450. I think she is. I think, and yesterday I said, well, the standard has to be a little bit higher. I got to walk that back. It's got to be the same standard because, well, I guess it doesn't really matter because she's not going to get, I don't see how, but here there is a development in this and the development here. And I've got an article from, the Washington Times that says FBI stalks Hillary while Bill Clinton trolls Obama. And, this is by Monica Crowley. And she says, do Bill and Hillary Clinton sense a breakdown in whatever deal they may have struck with President Obama to protect her presidential run? Is whatever the negotiations they may have been having over the email server issue over? Have the Clintons won the negotiation with Mr. Obama, freeing them to hit him publicly? All right, so... Here's the conclusion on this. Something has happened which has led Mr. Clinton to openly slam Mr. Obama. Here is what he says. If you believe we've finally come to the point where we can put the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us, he says that, and then he says that 80% of people have not had a raise in the last 8 years. So there's a reason, there's something that has happened. And as I said yesterday to you, Bill Clinton does nothing by accident. So Something has happened. Either they know that she's not going to get prosecuted. And maybe they got permission. I can't imagine this because Obama seems like a classic narcissist, but Bill Clinton got permission from Obama to slam him, you know, just on the economy, based on the idea if Hillary and Bill go after Obama, it makes her seem more authentic. Anyway, 729 AM, Las Cruces, 1450. What do you think? 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text, and I'll get to some more text here in just a second. And I just have a brief description of Huma Abedin's mom, and Huma Abedin is you're just tuning in, is the number one. She's now Huma. If it was hummus wiener, would be a disgusting recipe, but she's instead a disgusting, you know, she actually, oh, all right, and here's another story I got to get to. Huma Abedin pushed a woman away from Hillary Clinton, and nothing happened to her, and they've got it on video. Something happened with Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, and he's being charged, but there's nothing on film. You can't really see anything. So there's a double standard there too. But anyway, we'll be right back. It is 7:30 on the button, and AM Las Cruces.
I can turn a gray sky blue. See, I can make it rain when I want it to. Yeah.
All right, so I've got some information here for you on Huma Abedin's mother. And as Sharon called up and said, this information's been out there and the media's never been interested in it. And we're in the middle of what is essentially a war with Islam, or radical Islam, as you prefer. And this lady, who's the number one, what are the chances the number one aide to Hillary Clinton, who looks like she could be poised to enter the presidency. Her number one aide is the daughter of Saleha Mahmoud Abedin, a pro Sharia sociologist with ties to numerous Islamist organizations, including the Muslim Brotherhood. And Huma's mother, Saleha Mahmoud Abedin, is a sociologist known for her strong advocacy of Sharia law. A member of the Muslim Sisterhood, the Muslim Brotherhood's division for women, Saleha is also a board member of International Islamic Council for Dawah and Relief. This pro-Hamas entity is part of the Union of Good, which the U.S. government has formally designated as an international terrorist organization led by Muslim Brotherhood luminary Yusuf al-Qaradawi, however you pronounce it. When Huma was two, the Abedin family... And the reason we're talking about this right now is because she's being investigated by the FBI to see if she broke the law in with the emails, when the highly classified emails were very casually sent around. There was a large number, I would think hundreds of emails out of these tens of thousands of emails that were had secret information in them. When Huma was two, this is Hillary Clinton's number one aide, who has been with her since college. She worked as an intern. When Huma was two, the Abedin family relocated from Michigan to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. All right, if you're really into Islam, the place that you want to live is Saudi Arabia, because that's number one, the homeland of the Prophet Muhammad. It is where all the major shrines are, Mecca and Medina. And it is a place where Sharia law is put into place and nobody fights back. And it's a place where you can't have a Bible. If they find you with a Bible, you're tortured or killed. You cannot have a cross either on your person or on your house. And if you're caught proselytizing, trying to convert people to Christianity, certainly you'll be expelled from the country, but if you're a foreigner, but you will probably be beaten and could be executed. So that's the kind of a place this is. Okay, they moved, Huma Abedin's family moved when Abdullah Omar Nassif, a major Muslim brotherhood, and this is from, by the way, Discover the Networks, which is an unbelievable site. This moved, or let me start this over. When Huma was two, the Abedin family relocated from Michigan to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. This move took place when Abdullah Omar Nassif, a major Muslim brotherhood figure who served as vice president of Abdulaziz University, recruited his former AU colleague, Saeed Abedin, which is Huma's dad, to work for the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs, a Saudi-based Islamic think tank that Nassif was preparing to launch. And a number of years later, Nassif would develop close ties with Osama bin Laden and the terrorist group Al-Qaeda. This is surreal, isn't it? How does this woman, this girl, Huma Abedin, not get blocked from this job, by the way? Nassif also spent time beginning in the early 80s as Secretary General of the Muslim World League, which, as journalist Andrew C. McCarthy points out, has long been the Muslim Brotherhood's principal vehicle for international propagation of Islamic supremacist ideology. All right, so at 18, Huma Abedin returned from Saudi Arabia to the U.S. to attend George Washington University, which is in the suburbs of D.C. In 1996, she began working as an intern in the Bill Clinton White House, where she was assigned to First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton. Abedin was eventually hired as an aide to Mrs. Clinton and has worked for her ever since. Listen to this, and you wonder what she believes. From 1997 until sometime before 1999, when she was working for Hillary, while still interning at the White House, she was an executive board member of George Washington University's Muslim Students Association, heading the organization's social committee. And, all right, here's a little bit more. In 2001 and 2002, soon after Abedin left the executive board, the chaplain and spiritual guide of George Washington University MSA was Anwar al-Awlaki, the Al-Qaeda operative who ministered to some of the men who were among the 9/11 hijackers. This is so crazy. I didn't even know most of this. Another chaplain at George Washington University, a Muslim chaplain, was Muhammad Omeish, who headed the International Islamic Relief Organization, which has been tied to funding of Al-Qaeda. Omeish's brother, Essam, headed the Muslim American Society, the Muslim Brotherhood's quasi-official branch here in the United States. Both Omeish brothers were closely associated with Abdur-Aman Alamudi, who would later be convicted and incarcerated on terrorism charges. All right, I could go on and on, but this person has more influence on Hillary Clinton than anybody else, probably outside of her husband. So how does this girl, this young woman who only has grown up in the most virulently pro-Sharia and Sharia law imposing place in the world, in which they do numerous executions monthly for all kinds of crazy charges, how does this girl, who is also the daughter of a woman in the female branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, her mother is involved in all of these organizations, and the daughter, Huma Abedin, is also involved in all these organizations. How does she get past clearance? The connections. All right, so we'll take a break and come back. And wow, this is just so. Oh, and we got a phone call right here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, Thomas.
Thomas, thanks for the call. And what's on your mind?
Just a side note there. You mentioned Anwar al-Awlaki,
mm-hmm.
In relation to Huma.
Yeah.
He was born and finished high school here.
And he got killed, right?
He was the second most wanted terrorist next to Osama bin Laden.
But he was executed. Taken out by a drone or whatever?
Actually, it was a Hellfire missile.
Okay. Well, that's a good use of or finally we have a good use of taxpayer money. So what do you, because Thomas, I know that you're maybe a little bit more libertarian, so I would like your opinion. How did Huma Abedin get past any background checking, if they're doing any? It doesn't even sound like they're doing any. And should somebody with her background be the top aide to Hillary Clinton?
It's extremely suspicious, to say the least, that the political correctness of our day, I think, allows such nonsense, not to mention the longstanding relationship. I think that's probably the most important thing right there with regard to Hillary. And they go back decades.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, she's doing Muslim stuff while she's working for Hillary, but it's sad that we have to kind of tell ourselves, well, maybe she left radical Islam in her mind to work for Hillary. Why would we assume that when she's raised, she's born and bred in it, and her parents are as active as possible in these organizations?
I think it's a red flag that anybody running against Hillary should not hesitate to bring up during the cycle.
And this is why people, for whatever his flaws are, like Donald Trump, because they know if he runs against Hillary, he is going to smash her over the head with this stuff. And people are going to be cheering in front of their TV because finally one person in America is willing to stand up and speak the truth, even if he is highly flawed.
Right. Yeah. And that's the appeal of Donald Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate the call. And Thomason, I hope you have a good day. Was there anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, folks, we'll take a little break here. And I had no idea. I mean, I knew that she had some connections, but, you know, here I want to throw one other thing out to you. Huma Abedin's mom was best friends of the wife of the took over Egypt for whatever it was, a year, 2 years. A guy who lied his rear end off and was trying to bring in a Muslim constitution, that he did bring in a Muslim constitution. And Egypt had, you know, had a certain number of freedoms and such. It was not Sharia across the board. And the strongest entity, organ in the country was the military. And thank God, after this Morsi was elected, they finally removed him from office. But he was... Okay, the seedbed for all of these various later developments, you have Wahhabism, and then Wahhabism kind of gives birth to the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood then gives birth to, it's like the Muslim Brotherhood is like this prostitute that gives, you know, there's like disease prostitute that gives rise to all these deformed babies, you know, of all this radicalism, this just, you know, people, what? I would challenge anybody who believes in the tenets of Islam. Do you really believe there's a God out there that jumps up and claps and screams hallelujah when babies, innocent babies and children are blown to smithereens or they're beheaded, when human beings are dropped in cages and drowned or set on fire or electrocuted, or when people have their heads blown off just because they don't believe the same thing you do? I would challenge you that... I find that argument highly, highly unlikely on every level. 745 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180. If you are Muslim, please call in and you know, have a response. Defend your beliefs, because I'll give you all day on the phone. We'll be right back.
I'm a slang, I'm a slang. I can make the ship sail, yeah.
All right, I got something for you on Lewandowski, this guy that is being charged, who's the head of the Trump campaign, that some people feel is got too many rough edges. But I'll have that for you in a minute. But I'm looking at an article from National Review. It's about Huma Abedin, and she does. I mean, she's got ties to these people, and what does it tell you about Hillary Clinton that, I mean, what does it tell you about her level of common sense that she would have somebody like this on her staff, maybe the head of her staff. I mean, I just, you know, Hillary Clinton just seems like she's got the worst judgment. And all right, well, we're running out of time, so I got to get into this little story here because this is a big story. Lewandowski is charged. On the tape, you can't even see anything, and he's been charged with assault. Well, a misdemeanor. Here, check it out.
And this is now just into our newsroom. Donald Trump's campaign manager has been arrested and charged. Corey Lewandowski is being charged with misdemeanor battery of a former Breitbart reporter, Michelle Fields. If you look closely, you can actually we will have the tape for you in just a bit. It is concerning an incident that happened at a March 8th press conference at Trump National Golf Club. Michelle Fields alleges that Lewandowski grabbed her arm. She would later tweet what she said were bruises that resulted as a part of that confrontation. Lewandowski, in that same news cycle, tweeted that he had, in fact, never met Michelle Fields. But now, again, he has been charged with misdemeanor battery. The Trump campaign has responded as well, in part saying Mr. Lewandowski is absolutely innocent of this charge. He will enter a plea of not guilty and looks forward to his day in court. He is completely confident that he will be.
All right. So here is a little bit from Trump. But what I like about this is Trump is not cutting and running. Well, I'll play you his. Let's take a little break here. I'll play you his response in just a minute. But I just like, you know, I'm so sick and I am so sick of watching the GOP get manhandled and stage directed by people who come up with these politically correct things and demand that, you know, that's why people are supporting Trump. He can't be manipulated like that. And it's good to finally see someone. You know, I'm not saying he's to me, he's not a messiah. He's just a human being, but his instincts are strong and he doesn't like to be pushed around and he pushes back hard. I didn't see anything. We'll be right back. 751 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. I keep getting people calling me on my personal phone. Some of them are clients, and they and I tell them I'm on the air, and they want to continue the conversation. It's like, you know, would they? These are the kind of people that would go in and stop a brain surgeon during surgery to, you know, have a 5-minute conversation. Anyway, we'll be right back. All right, so I got this clip here, but I just want to say one more thing about this Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin. It really just bothers me. It would bother me to be friends with someone who supported a law that said it's okay. And her mother is extremely in favor of Sharia law. It would bother me to know somebody who believed that you can rape, you know, you can gather up groups of virgins and claim that they're your wife and then rape them and then sell them. And you know, a lot of these girls have tried to commit suicide. And I mean, can you imagine you're a teenage girl from some other faith other than Islam? And you get kidnapped and then you're told you're going to be somebody, you're taken to a slave market, which you didn't even think existed anymore. And you're sold for $10, say you're a nice young girl, a modest girl, you end up getting raped daily by this person. And a lot of these guys are into extreme porn. And then the guy gets bored with you and you're taken out and sold again. Any girl would think about blowing her brains out for that. We got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good God morning, Kelly. This is Antonio.
Antonio, great to talk to you, brother. What's going on?
I just wanted to share something that my daughter read to me from the internet, and I really agree. And somebody posted on there that Obama put America in the toilet, and if Hillary becomes president, she'll flush it.
Yeah, what a terrible feeling. Yeah. I mean, how can this woman, how can she have this the supporter of Sharia law as her right-hand woman?
Yeah, she's a traitor, and she's a liar, and she's a tyrant, and she should be prosecuted because she should be held not at the same bar, but at a higher level
of
accountability. Love your show and love your good work. God bless you and your family.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye. So it would bother me if I knew someone who, it would, you know, I mean, if you knew somebody, not to put religion aside, if you knew somebody who that believed rape was okay, wouldn't that bother you? And just because it's part of a religion, and I can tell you from Sharia law that during a war, if you capture someone from another, you know, on the other side, basically, a woman, if she's married, and you know, and Islam brags about how it respects you know, marriage and women and everything, that marriage is dissolved ipso facto. I am quoting. And it is, then you can be either taken as a wife or you can be used as a concubine, a sexual slave. So that would bother me if somebody that I knew believed that very much. And the fact that I was told it was God's law wouldn't make me feel any better. It would bother me if I knew someone believed that if you got caught stealing a candy, your hand should be, you know, on and on. So, all right. So anyway, I've got texts here out the yazoo. So get some of these. None of this is mystery if you accept the fact that Obama is a Muslim and Hillary is next. All right. Did you see The Manchurian Candidate? What would the Islamic version of this movie be called? I don't know. I have to think of a clever answer there. I got a whole bunch of texts from somebody. It's terrific. You're closing. You're doing this piece on Uma's background. People need to hear this. There are Muslims in our present administration. Do you think, does it mean that they are radicalized? We don't know how dangerous a situation we're creating. They're developing ISIS cells already here. Rumor says San Bernardino indicates we're a country that is wide open to undocumented immigrants. And that's a scary thing. We're almost out of time here, but you've got a current administration that demands that we bring more and more Muslims in. As a matter of fact, just recently, Obama said that he stands for the idea of bringing as many as possible, or more and more, even though the vast majority of people in America are against bringing in people from Muslim areas, Sharia or jihad areas. You can't background check them. Why would you bring him? I mean, that's obvious. And now, you know, Obama's doing everything he can to bring as many people, undocumented, illegal people across the southern border. It's just, and what are we trying to prove? What are we supposed to gain if we took in 10 million people a year? We get a gold star or something? I mean, at some point, the country has to fall, right? I mean, this our way of life and our approach to everything has to go away because we're so dumb. We make so many stupid mistakes and we let other people do it too, our leaders. And we act like nothing bad can ever happen to us. 759 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Sorry to end on a sour note. Have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours and I'll have my brother with me. Kevin.
I can fly like a bird in the sky. See,